Welcome everyone, another edition of Techotastic. I'm your host Chris. Thanks for tuning in, thanks for joining us. Techotastic is an open platform technology podcast covering deals in technology and relevant articles, as well as topics that we discuss on the show. Today's topic is going to be the tech spot. Basically, when is the best time to buy tech, and how can you foresee change, and why does tech change in price so often and just in any given months? We'll go into that later. And before we get into the tech deals of the week, I want to give a shout out to Troy Turiet for the music again. Thank you again, man. It's beautiful. He's producing a lot more new tracks for the shows, and I feel like it adds an extra layer of depth to the show. If you're working, if you're feeling like a monotonous day, you can turn this on and listen to the ambient tracks in the background. And that's how I began my podcasting listening, is Smodcast. Originally started with the first like 100 or so episodes, I believe, had music underlaid, and it was cool just listening to that. If it's too loud, let me know. Let us know. Please go on facebook.com/ETAcast. Like us on there to get all the updates and all the future content from ETAcast. Check out my other podcast I host, Trust Me, I Have a Beard, and the other one that I do, Did You Beat It? As the video episodic podcast in which I play games from start to finish on the hardest difficulty. Currently playing Two Worlds 2. It's a really huge, massive open world third person RPG. There's 4 episodes on our YouTube page. Check that out. Let us know what you think on there, and please hit that subscribe button. It helps us out immensely. All right, that gets that out of the way. Let's talk about our tech bargains of the week. These are the deals that you want to jump on if you're in the market for a laptop, monitor, things that I really find interesting and a steal, if you will, on the internet. All right, so first up, we have a Lenovo IdeaPad Y700. It's a gaming laptop for $1,100, $1,099.99, so. And you're getting free shipping with that. It's going to be a 17.3-inch 1080p LED UPS display. The laptop's kind of heavy. It's 7.7 pounds, but it's super thin, 1.1 inch thick. And the processor is really nice, running an Intel Skylake quad-core turbo boost up to 3.5 gigahertz. So you're running the latest Ivory Core from Intel. You're gonna get 16 gigs of DDR4 high-speed RAM. That's gonna come comboed with a screaming fast 512 gig solid state drive. Kind of small given that's the only disc in this laptop, but hey man, this is a crazy laptop with the specs, and wait till you hear this graphics card. It's a 4 gigabyte NVIDIA GeForce 960 GTX card in this laptop. That's fucking insane. You're getting this for $1,100. To me, that is a wicked laptop. I'm sure the battery life is somewhat decent, but given that it does have a dedicated graphics card, it's gonna pull more power, and it's gonna come with a red backlit keyboard. That's kind of cool. So you get that little game, that gaming feel and whatnot. So that's the first tech bargain that we got, and I will throw the link on there if you're interested. Once again, these are deals that only last for a couple days sometimes, or maybe even a day. So jump on it if you're interested. All right, so next up is going to come from Newegg. You're going to get 16 gigs of DDR3 clocked at 1866 megahertz. 16 gigs of RAM DDR3 for fucking $67. That's insane, man. I mean, I remember going into Best Buy in fucking 2003, picking up a 512 meg stick of RAM, and it was like $90 easily. And the gig was 160. That's a crazy deal. I'm even thinking about getting it because my machine only has eight gigs, and whew, it'd be nice just to upgrade it. And that brand of RAM is G-Skill, which is a pretty reputable brand. All right, so our last tech bargain of the week is gonna be if you have Xbox Live or anything like that, and you subscribe to it every year, you're going to want to get this. This is Xbox Live 12 months gold card for $38. They normally retail for $60. It's pretty standard. They're always $60. So when you see deals like this, you're going to want to grab it just to have. If that's your thing, if that's what you do, you know, if you subscribe to Xbox Live and you know you're going to, it's nice to have this on the side. You're going to get a code. And even then, I think that if you type in this code on top of your membership, it'll add the months into it. And so what we get with Xbox Live Gold, you get 2 free games a month with the Games with Gold program. Of course, you can game online and do all that fun stuff on Xbox Live. So that's pretty cool. I mean, that's a hell of a deal. My opinion, $60 a year really isn't that bad, in my opinion as well, but $38, even better. So once again, I'll post all those articles on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/ETACast. Let's move into our next segment of Techotastic. That's the tech articles of the week. First article that I found was about the legendary, or maybe would you say infamous, game designer Peter Molyneux. Yes, the man behind Fable. This is a reigning joke between my buddies in high school, because when Fable was coming out, you know, we all had the Game Informer magazine, and we were fucking reading about it, and we were just eating up all of Peter Molyneux's quotes. You can grow trees, you can plant a seed, and then go around the world, and then later on, given if there's enough time, there's got to be enough time. The tree will grow, it'll flourish. You could chop down the tree. You could give the wood to your friends and build a house together. He was just completely exaggerating everything about the game. And our 14-year-old selves were just like, fuck yeah, this is gonna be the greatest game ever, because this guy's saying it. He duped all of us, long story short, and ended up coming out with 2 other Fables after that somehow. In which case, number 2 was my favorite. I think that was the best one out of all 3 of them. But anyways, yeah, Peter Molyneux is still making games. He's a little more quiet nowadays. I think he learned his lesson after that whole Fable debacle. But his Twitter account was hacked recently, saying that he was retiring, because it's a huge deep cut in the gaming community of when you bring up Fable to a gamer. If a gamer had an Xbox, they wanted Fable. So if you bring it up to them, they're gonna know this whole fucking story about Fable and Peter Molyneux and him telling you that you could spill coffee on your friends and you could do whatever the fuck you wanted, basically. Whatever you want. So, regardless to say, the gaming community is still pretty upset over this, and obviously, a gamer hacked his account and said, hey, I'm retiring. I'm done making games. I can't do it. He responded with, my account has been hacked. You could tell because how well they spell. I'm not retiring. I'm not closing GODOS. I guess GODOS is his new studio. He was working at Lionhead before. That was the people behind Black and White, Fable. Yeah, those are really the only games I can think of. But it's just funny that, this guy still has this reputation. It just shows you that gamers don't forget. That we do not forget about things, especially like that. There's so much hype over Fable, and we were completely let down with the opposite game we thought of in our head. It did have little moments here and there where you felt like you're kind of doing your own thing, but for the most part, it was a on the rail, go here, go here, go here. That's it. You discover the whole map, fight the final boss, you're done. And I even remember spending hours after I beat the game, hours and hours, because there's this fucking continent on the map, and I thought for sure there would be a boat that would bring you to that continent in the vanilla version of the game, and it never happened. Never. So I thought that was pretty interesting, and it is relevant in the technology industry. Next up on our technology articles is another gaming article, funny enough. This is about playing video games to pay for college. Yeah, in America, we have to pay for college. It sucks. But here's another avenue, instead of getting good grades and getting these grants and what have you, and the scholarships, you just play fucking games, man. Just play games. In particular, you gotta play Heroes of the Storm, which is the Heroes of the Dorm competition that's beginning in March. So you're going to play Heroes of the Storm, in which case this competition is called Heroes of the Dorm. And yeah, you'll be able to win free college tuition. Kind of reminds me of, you know, like if you're a good basketball player in high school or football player, you know, you'll get a athletic scholarship. This is really cool. It's good for the gaming world, and it gives another incentive to gamers to not feel ashamed about their hobby and to be really productive inadvertently as well. It's not a reason to play games. I wouldn't say, hey, go pick up a video game to get free college. If you're not into video games, then don't do that. But this is really cool. Like I said, it's another avenue to pay for college. And anyways, I hope Bernie Sanders wins, so fucking there's college for free for everyone anyways. And Heroes of the Storm, if anyone's not familiar with that game, it's a MOBA top-down, similar to League of Legends, but it's using the Blizzard heroes and just different beasts and monsters from the whole Blizzard universe. Alright, our next article, our last article, is about the Apollo 11 astronauts and what they did on that day in 1969. Yes, if you're a moonlander conspiracist, well, guess the fuck what? You can scrutinize it even more. Find yourself an Oculus Rift or an HTC Vive or a PlayStation VR. Two of those things aren't even out right now. And you'll be able to do the Apollo 11 virtual reality experience. I'm a believer in the moon landing because I know that shit is real and I'm not retarded. But if you're a non-believer, I think this will give a definitive proof that it did happen. So that'd be cool. This is really cool to me. I think this is even better than playing Skyrim with Oculus because, you know, you're living a piece of history. And essentially what this is, you'll be right next to the astronauts, you know, putting together all this footage and giving you that virtual reality experience, allowing you to look around. It's going to be fucking incredible. I'm sure they're going to clean up the footage and improve the quality significantly. So that'd be really nice. That's something that's going to bring tears to my eyes once I get to try that. You know, sitting right next to the Apollo 11 astronauts and reliving that day like it's a time machine. Just think about the possibilities right there. We can make any scenario in history and relive it in virtual reality and scrutinize in every which angle, however we want it. I think that's very powerful for knowledge. Makes me more excited for the VR for sure. I was getting really excited for AR, augmented reality, but now I feel like I'm getting more excited for VR because it'll just take me out of this whole realm of Earth and put me in different scenarios, kind of like the holodeck. That's what I feel like it's eventually going to go towards. People are going to be developing these awesome environments, these super immersive environments you're going to feel like you're there, plain and simple. Still both very cool sides of tech though, AR and VR. So let's segue into our topic of the show, the tech spot. What I mean is, like, where's that sweet spot in tech? You know, you walk into a Best Buy or just any electronic store, Fry's, Target, you'll go over to the TV section and you'll see that there's this fucking huge TV. It's on display, you can hit this button and you can put on the 3D glasses and it's this whole experience. And then you look at the price tag and it's like fucking $4,000. And then you look over to the left and there's a TV for $1,200, $1,000, the same size, same resolution. Just doesn't have some of these features this new brand new TV has on it. But it's like $1,200 to $1,000. Maybe even on sale for $800. Why? Why does this happen in technology? I always remember back in high school, I took 4 years of a class called PC Support, and it's essentially just about troubleshooting PCs, hardware, software, mostly hardware, and talking about technology. A lot of it was talking about technology. It was just my teacher, Mr. Bogue, going on either about his life experience or technology in general. One day he talked about this thing that he called the bell that happens in technology. The bell curve. If you draw a bell horizontally and take the bottom line off, because you don't need that, you just need the top line, that's how technology works. When it's first born, its apex, very at the top, comes fast. When technology first comes out, it's high price, you know, months in, it's still that way, and it starts dropping down. 6 months go by, a year goes by, it drops all the way down to its lowest point, and then it goes back up the next year, and then slowly it goes back down. The bell curve, right? So given that, you know not to buy technology as soon as it comes out. This is kind of a good rule of thumb with any sort of piece of hardware, a new car, a new piece of technology, a new phone. It's kind of stupid to buy it when it first comes out. It really is. You're just playing into the whole game of what these manufacturers want, and that's for you to just get so hyped up, you fucking stand in line for 6 hours and you buy this brand new phone for $900, when in turn, a year from now, it'll be down to 300, 400 brand new. Now, if you can keep up with this pattern and sort of buy technology in intervals with the bell curve in mind, you can save yourself a lot of money, and get yourself a lot of nice technology. You're just not gonna have the latest and greatest ever. It's never gonna happen if you follow this. And in which case, it's in 2016, it's not really relevant to have the latest and greatest technology. A lot of things that we use now doesn't utilize that technology to its fullest potential. For instance, the graphics cards that are $600, $700. I mean, what fucking game right now is going to require that graphics card? It's not. You're just, people that buy these things are so enthusiastic about it. They go over the extreme, and you know, that's fine. Whatever they want to do, that's totally up to them. That's the beauty about customization, the power of consuming. But if you would ask me, it's stupid. It's a waste of money, and you can get similar piece of technology for hundreds of dollars less. You know, this goes back into my episode 1, What is Technology? I had said, you know, you look at the touchscreens nowadays, 2016, you hand anyone a phone and everyone knows how to use it, given the gestures that we all know on touchscreens. It's fast, it's fluent. But if that was 10 years ago, give someone a phone, it'd either be pressing the numbers on the keypad to spell out something, or it'd be using a stylus to type in things one at a time. You know what I mean? It'd be a very different experience, but now it's very cohesive, our technology. You're gonna get a sure bet if you buy something that's even 3 or 4 years old, it's gonna be relatively good, it's gonna be relatively fast and stable. And so how can you foresee all this chain? You take that bell curve, like I said, and you follow it in an odd pattern. If you wanna do it before the second curve or after the second curve, that's up to you, but follow that pattern consistently when you buy technology. Don't ever buy it when it's at its apex, when it first comes out, or when it's on its second life period, when it's out for 2.5 years, and when the inventory of these things start running low, and so you get an exchange of just influx of price. You can see this with any piece of technology. And obviously, to foresee change too is go on deal websites, find coupons out there, compare things. A good rule of thumb as well is don't buy from a retailer like Walmart, Target, Best Buy, unless they have a crazy awesome deal, because you're pretty much gonna be paying the retail price that is set. And unless it's a deal, $300 off or 30% off, whatever have you, that set price is gonna be a standard. So following deals, you can foresee chain. Getting the most out of your purchase is very important in technology. A lot of people will buy things out of a whim and not realize they don't really need it. I saw this time and time again when I worked at Dell when I was 18, and one of our goals was to sell computers to people, sell hardware to people, whether or not it was a graphics card or a stick of RAM, we try to sell it to them after we troubleshoot their computer. And so many times we would sell a fucking gaming PC to an old lady that all she did was play solitaire and went on AOL.com to check the news. And you know, this PC was like $3,000. It was specced out to like 8 gigs of RAM. It's ridiculous. So you as a technology consumer have to step back and go, well, what do I use it for? What's my medium for technology? How do I get there with technology? Well, I send emails. Sometimes I need a nice keyboard. That'd be cool, because I type a lot. these are the things you have to sort of analyze for yourself so you don't fall into the hole of someone upselling you in the technology industry, which happens all the time. I mean, fuck, if you go into a Fry's, there is so many Russians all over you trying to sell shit to you. And you're just like, listen, I know what all this shit is, and I know what I want. Thanks. That's good as a consumer. You're protecting your own ass. And you're not really going to have buyer's remorse in this aspect because you're planning out your purchase and getting the most out of it. And gimmicks like Black Friday and Cyber Monday are starting to go away. It's not really relevant anymore, especially with these daily tech deals that we have on Newegg. You know, we have tons of deals going on all the time on Amazon and rebate offers. There's no real right time to buy technology unless you know what that particular technology is, like a processor, if you're in the market for a graphics card, some more RAM. Then you can start digging in and seeing what the last processor was, what the current one is, what's the last one before that, when's the new one going to come out. These are the things you have to analyze for yourself. To give you a good example, over my lifespan in technology, which was from, let's see, I was 13 when I got my first actual computer, and I stopped using the family computer. So after that, I built another computer in 2006, and then built one more in 2009, and built another one in 2012. So I only built three machines since 2003, three different computers over this whole lifespan of my technology and consuming it. And every single year has passed, you know, I realize that a new game's coming out, maybe I need to start upgrading, and so I'll look into that. But what's important to note is I'm not buying a new computer every single year. I'm stretching out my purchase to the point where everything that I'm utilizing is good enough. EverQuest was running fine at the time. It could have been better. Battlefield 2 ran fine. So I was happy for years. I really was. And then different games started to come out, and then I started to get into 3D modeling, so I needed more RAM. So I needed to adjust. Also too, what's really good in technology that people don't think about is used tech, a used laptop, a used phone. These are things that are just fine nowadays, and really with our OSs nowadays, with the click of a button, we can refresh it, reinstall it instantly, no problem, and it's like it was when the factory let it go, unless there's something wrong with it hardware-wise. But the thing is though, if you go on Craigslist, you can find a lot of cheap stuff on there. A lot of cheap laptops on there, and really quality items on there, because people need the money, and that's sad, but you're in the market for something, and don't be afraid to buy used technology is what I'm saying. I bought many of phones from Craigslist, I bought a few laptops from there, and every single time, you know, I brought it back home and I wiped it out and updated it, made sure it was my own, you know, cleaned it off obviously before all that, and there you go. You just got yourself a piece of technology for 70% off, brand new. So don't be afraid of used technology. And you know, people get this weird conception like, oh, what if it's infected with a virus, blah, 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 blah. Well, then just fucking wipe your OS. Wipe the OS as soon as you get it. Reinstall it, all good gravy, unless it's a crazy fucking virus that embedded itself in the EMOS and BIOS, but that's very rare. The important thing that I always tell people is use technology like it's a tool on your tool belt. That's all it is, at least right now. We interact with it with a very tactile, mechanical way. Either touch it, use a keyboard, use a mouse. It's our tools to utilize to make our lives easier and more efficient, so we can do the things that are more important in life. Don't be afraid of technology. If it does break, don't get mad at it, and know that it's just fucking mechanical. But my point is, don't be afraid that you're necessarily going to break it. Have common sense when you're using technology, of course, don't be clicking around in every single thing that you see on the internet. You know, you gotta be conscientious of what you click on, of course. But the thing is, you gotta use it however you use your daily life. If you're really good at washing dishes and stuff like that, I don't see why anyone's not good at multitasking on a computer. I just don't see. People don't realize their full potential because they get really scared, or they don't explore. They don't want to go out of their comfort zone because they're afraid that they might do something wrong. But it's all good, man. All good. It's just technology, bro. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our topic of the show for episode 4 of Techotastic. Let us know if you guys have any suggestions or future topics, feedback. Please let us know. Hit us up on techotastic@outlook.com. You can also use hashtag techotastic and ask us any questions on Twitter, and I will get back to you personally. If you need something troubleshot, something that's just irritating you, you can't figure out, I'll help you out, no problem. Figure it out together. It's just technology, man. Just a bunch of ones and zeros, bro. What's the problem? Please check out our other podcasts, Did You Beat It, on YouTube. As well as on YouTube, we have Techotastic, Trust Me, I Have a Beard. You can check out this podcast on iTunes, any favorite podcast app. And to find us on YouTube, just type in ETACast. You'll find us on there. Yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in again. And I noticed that the podcast is being hit in Argentina, Australia, Denmark, France, Canada, US, of course. Yeah, thank you guys so much. That really means a lot. Please spread the word and check out the other content from ETACast. And until then, guys, you guys have yourself a fucking techotastic day.